views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Get fired up for Spirit Fire Radio with your hosts, Dorothy Riddle and Steve Kramer. Get ready to shine the light on universal spiritual principles and uncover ways that ageless wisdom can guide you in cultivating consciousness in these modern times. Bring purpose to your life through practical spirituality and add to your awareness with Spirit Fire Radio. Now, here are your hosts, Dorothy Riddle and Steve Kramer.
Hello, welcome to Spirit Fire Radio. It is delightful to be with you, and it is delightful to be with my co-host, Dr. Dorothy Riddle. Hi, Dorothy. How are you today?
Great. Hi, Steve.
It's wonderful to be talking about right action again. It's a good topic. We all act. We wake up in the morning and we make choices, and those choices create our day. They create our relationships, and hopefully they create a better now, a better world for us all. So, you know, how do we cultivate right action? What is right action? On the last show, we talked about ethics and we talked about our moral compass. How do we create a moral compass? How do we make sure it's true? And what do we do when we lose our moral compass? And it was interesting. We talked quite a bit about the complexity of moral dilemmas. And so much of that had to do with knowing ourselves and with being able to question ourselves, to observe ourselves, and to really feel into our core as to our own sense of right and wrong, and having a sort of, having principles before us that really serve as a ground for our being, so that we know really how to move in the world. And I would say move in the world where we are not harming another, we are not creating separation. And we talked about joy, striving for joy. So I think we're going to continue much of that conversation today, because so much of cultivating right action has to do with a sense of belonging and a sense of inclusivity. And how do we maintain that? Dorothy, any words on all that?
Well, I'd like to start us off with a quote. You know I like to do that.
Perfect.
this is another one from Gandhi. The future depends on what you do today. Mm. So I'd like to link that back to part of what we were talking about last week about the importance of rehearsal, of thinking about different options, thinking through, why people would feel that one action is appropriate, whereas somebody else feels that something else is appropriate. And that we may not act in the same way as, we may not make the same choice as somebody else, but it is so important that we work to understand why someone would make a different decision than we do. Partly because that's part of, of being part of humanity, but partly because it stimulates and challenges us to continually question whether we are, in fact, on our own moral compass, whether we are acting in alignment with our own values.
Because sometimes it seems subjective. You know, it makes me think of a situation that I was in when I first moved to Spirit Fire. So I run a meditative retreat center, and there are several people that live here, and there are lots of decisions to be made as we serve food. We want the food to be energetically sound, and we want to make decisions that that serve the greater good at all times. So, Dorothy, if you'll indulge me, a funny story that that came up in talking about, you know, differences, seeing differences. So there is this black rice, this organic black rice that I just love cooking with. And we were doing portobello mushrooms with this black rice. I couldn't find the black rice anywhere. The local co-op where we usually get this rice wasn't going to carry it anymore. And one of the big box stores was starting to carry it. I did a search online and I couldn't believe it was showing up at one of these mega Uber super box stores. Well, one of my housemates said, "I forbid you to go there and buy it." And I said, "Wait a minute. I love that this store is actually starting to carry organic foods and they're being responsibly sourced. And this means that people who would otherwise have not so healthy options are getting more options. And you know, I would like to support their choice to carry organic and well-sourced foods." And it became this huge conversation about, well, by spending money there, you are supporting an evil. And I was saying, no, not at all. By keeping this moving on the shelves, it's going to support them to buy healthier foods. So there you have it. We couldn't come to a who's right and who's wrong and what is the proper thing to do. It was an interesting situation.
Mm-hmm. And what it underscores is part of what we were talking about last week, which is the complexity of moral decisions.
Absolutely.
And the fact that circumstances change. And so it's not a matter that, you know, I decide something, you know, when I'm 12 years old and that's the way it's going to be for the rest of my life. I need to keep revisiting and seeing, you know, what are the consequences and evaluating those consequences.
When we do that together, I find that we actually form a kinship with somebody. You know, we got to know each other better. We got to actually mm-hmm. respect each other's positions a little bit more. We were our conversation was sort of, we were taking our stand, you know, and we were sort of almost mm-hmm. very, who's going to be right here? And in the end, we found a way to come together. We found a way to respect each other's position and realize that perhaps there's not a right or wrong. As long as your motivation is correct, are you going to the big box store with some awareness? And, you know, are you, what will you bring to that situation? So in the end, we found heart. We found a heart connection. So, you know, moving through these complex situations also just brings us together and helps us expand, you know, our mental stuff.
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And we're talking about the need to reflect, to know ourselves, you know, if we're going to make decisions about what is right action. There's one topic I'd like to bring up right here, which is the whole issue of criticism.
Yes.
And it's interesting to me that in the Ageist Wisdom teachings, there's a lot of criticism of criticism. It sounds a little ironic, but because when I am critical of somebody else, I'm setting myself apart. I'm kind of setting myself above the other person. And I think one of the skills that's critical to ensure right action is to learn to observe ourselves without judgment.
Yes.
To observe the consequences without saying, oh, that was terrible, I shouldn't have done that. But okay, I did that. So what do I learn from this? And to really take on board the fact that living is about experimentation. It's about learning. And if you never do something that you regret afterwards, then you probably aren't experimenting as much as you could. So learning to, now if somebody asks for feedback, that's different than my volunteering that they've done something wrong. Which is very judgmental. So I think that distinction is critical as we're working on cultivating right action.
Yes, and I'm hearing mindfulness come through. You know, we have a meditative retreat center here, and we see so many people who are very passionate about mindful meditation, which is observing oneself. And so many people will start a meditation practice and they learn so much about observing without judgment because they're just judging themselves constantly, first of all, which is, why can't I meditate? Why won't my mind slow down? I don't think I can sit still. And we learn through mindfulness meditation to observe without judgment. And then we can take that off the meditation cushion and actually apply it to life. We can see when our emotions are getting the better of us, when we're out of alignment. And even if we're in a conversation with another and their sort of moral code doesn't seem to match us, or a decision or an action that they've taken wouldn't align with how we see ourselves, and criticism or judgment may come up. You feel that, you know, you feel that in your gut, or you see your mind contracting around something somebody else might have said. And a mindfulness practice, taking a breath, getting some altitude, observing yourself and observing the situation can be so helpful. So, you know, a mindfulness meditation practice can be so wonderful in sort of preparing the ground, you know, for right action, so that when we're in play, we can observe and, you know, and sense, you know, before our action, you know, sort of see, is this right or wrong, or give someone some space around their action before we are critical or we push against, you know, and create a me versus you and us versus them situation. So we're at a break, Dorothy. When we come back, we're going to talk more about right action. We'll be right back.
Treat the body and expand the soul on June 1st with Lynn Brown. In this all-inclusive retreat, you'll treat your body with breakout sessions in the various elements of nature, enjoy fireside chats while harnessing the healing energy of fire, allow more light with more ease, and activate that connection between the body and spirit. Call 206-931-7356 or visit lynnmbrown.com.
Do you feel that there's a bigger, better life for you? Is there anything holding you back from living the life you were meant to live? If you'd like to find your life's true purpose and calling, join the world's foremost authority on primal spirituality, David Karsher, in Becoming a Son Radio, emotional and spiritual intelligence for a happy, fulfilling life. Tune in once a month to Becoming a Son Radio with David Karsher on the Dr. Pat Show and Transformation Talk Radio. For more information, visit davidkarsher.com today.
Brand consultant Jen Morgan is here with Radically Distinct Radio to help you take control of your future and maximize your brand's power to produce results. Whether you're an individual trying to reinvent yourself and launch a new venture, or you're an executive trying to reposition your company to modernize your sales and marketing programs, Jen Morgan and the Rad Method empower you to play to your strengths and show up in the world as your most powerful brand. To learn more, go to jenmorgan.com. That's Jen with two N's, Morgan.com, or call 206-972-5366.
Chris Stainis is a spiritual leader and healer and teaches a course on how you can transform your life through a meditation and healing system that will manifest your spirit's dreams. She manifested the Women of Wisdom Conference, the Women of Wisdom book, and this radio show. And she can show you how to change your life too. Are you ready? Visit the website and contact her at voicesofwomentoday.com. That's voicesofwomentoday.com.
Curious about the meaning of life? Do you want to deepen your spiritual practice? The School for Esoteric Studies offers online training to spiritual seekers from all paths of life and individual coaching. Our courses synthesize Eastern and Western spiritual traditions based on meditation, study, and service applied to everyday life. The school also organizes group meditations each year to benefit humanity. Whether you're just beginning to reflect on the spiritual side of your life or are a more experienced spiritual seeker, the school warmly welcomes you to join our group. To learn more about our courses and services, please visit esotericstudies.net. That's esotericstudies.net.
Thank you.
Welcome back to Spirit Fire Radio. We are spending the month of May talking about right action, and this episode in particular, how do we cultivate right action? Before we get too into it, I'd love to say that both Dorothy and I represent two organizations that have made it their mission as educational nonprofits to cultivate right action in any way we can. You can find out more about Spirit Fire at spiritfire.com. We have got our own meditation practice. We were just talking a little bit about mindfulness and meditation. It'd be wonderful if you would like to learn more, to visit spiritfire.com and learn more about the practice of living awareness. Living with awareness is such a huge part of cultivating right action. And Dorothy, living with awareness, it's a mission as well, right, of School for Esoteric Studies.
Absolutely. School for Esoteric Studies provides esoteric discipleship training through meditation, study, and service, and we are very happy to be collaborating on this radio program. You can find out more about us at esotericstudies.net. That's esotericstudies.net.
Great.
And Steve, I'd like, just like to follow on from what we were talking about before the break in terms of mindfulness. You were talking about mindful meditation, which is a wonderful practice, but maybe some of our listeners don't do meditation or they have another meditative practice. I would just like to underscore that being mindful can be a way of being in the world. And there are other, one of the particular practices that I think of in terms of mindfulness is what we call active listening, where you are present with the person who is speaking and trying to understand and kind of walk in their shoes as they're talking, in contrast to spending the time thinking about what you are going to say next.
Yes. That you talk about that so much, which I so appreciate. You will often talk about sort of, when is right action not acting? And, I love that you will always sort of, you will often do that flip. We just had a meditation retreat here a couple months ago where we simply spent, and I tell you, only 5 minutes, where we paired off in twos and one person simply spoke. We gave them sort of guidelines about what they'd be speaking about, and the other person just simply listened. And the fact that each of them knew that they were going to talk and what they were talking about was simply going to be received, and the other person didn't have to respond, could only listen, was just revelations galore. They talked for hours about what a revelation it was to just be able to sit and listen. So right action is not always about doing something, but sometimes it's about receiving is actually doing something as well. And I just wanted to say that, this practice of living awareness is certainly, it is a combination of a couple different kinds of meditation practices. Mindfulness meditation practice for many people is really the starting point. It is a way to bring oneself to a point in which they can explore higher planes of the mind. And that would lead to a sort of an insight meditation practice, seed thought meditation practices. So that a mindfulness meditation practice for many people is really the starting point. It is just getting to be comfortable with oneself so that one can learn to observe and without judgment, which is just such a big part of living this life, right, Dorothy? Of not finding oneself in a situation where we are creating separation, either within ourselves or amongst ourselves.
Absolutely, Steve, absolutely. And I'd like to move us into another dimension of cultivating right action, which is thinking about the concept of sacrifice, which I link to the willingness to limit what my wants and desires and needs are in order to ensure what is best for the common good, what is best for the group as a whole. And I'd like to share the example that I was about to give last week, and we ran out of time. If I can do that, is that okay with
you? Sure. Yeah, that'd be great.
Yeah. So earlier in my career, I had the opportunity. I was invited to be the chief psychologist at a rural interdisciplinary health clinic, and my role there was to supervise doctoral clinical psychology students in doing community mental health. And so we provided all of the therapy and counseling services for this quite large rural community. And when I first arrived at the clinic, I was shown into what I realized had been the staff lounge. It was there was a nice large room, nice and light, and then it had a little kind of kitchen area with one of those sliding rubber-type separators. And I looked at the space, and I thought, we can never use this for what we need to do, because there's no way to have privacy to talk confidentially with patients. And I became aware also that while on the one hand the administrator of the clinic was very proud of providing us with such wonderful space, the rest of the staff was pretty irritated about losing their lounge. So I walked all through the clinic area, and I found two rooms across the hall from each other that were being used for storage. They did not have windows, but they were as soundproof as you're going to get in that kind of environment. And I went to the administrator and I said that I would like to use those rooms instead. And he was very surprised. But I said, you know, if there are other places to store stuff, and he said, yeah, that's not a problem. And so we got space that actually worked for us, although to everybody else, we took lesser space, right, less attractive space. And we generated a tremendous amount of goodwill in terms of working with other staff, because we gave them back the staff lounge, which they needed, actually. And it was a space that was perfectly designed to be a staff lounge. So it was an interesting example earlier in my career of where being willing to let go of what was supposed to be the best and go for something that actually worked well for everybody was the best solution in the long run, the best right action.
I love that you're bringing that story up in talking about sacrifice, because so many people have such a negative connotation around that word, and even can be martyrs. You know, I love that that's not even a part of it, which is you found a space that was going to serve better. Everybody was going to be served. And your description of it wasn't like, well, we'll sacrifice that space for, but to me, the word sacrifice has to do with the word sacred and sort of making sacred. So in a way you were acknowledging that this space that was already a lounge had its own sort of sacred quality as a lounge, and its quality was there, and it wasn't meant to be yours. And you take this other space, and in a sense, you make that sacred. So I always think of sacrifice as making something sacred. How do we bring this sort of the fullness of the quality to a situation or to something that should be intended? Like there's always within sacrifice the opportunity to make something sacred, I find. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. And then another aspect of this, which I think was important in terms of the dynamic of how this particular scenario played out, was when I took that action, I took it because it really felt that it was in the best interests of everyone, and certainly was in the best interests of the work that I was responsible for. I got as a gift people being very grateful that I had done that, but it doesn't work to do it in order to be thanked, in order to have people be grateful. You know what I mean?
Right.
It has to be separate from that dynamic. That's a gift in itself if it happens. But right action needs to occur because it's the appropriate thing to do.
Right. And it makes the action itself sacred. You know, that in that instance is what is being made sacred, and therefore everyone, you know, there was much respect for that action mm-hmm. in and of itself. Mm-hmm. Indeed. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Social justice.
So when we talk,
go on.
Yeah, and when we talk about, you know, random acts of kindness or paying it forward, you know, those kinds of dynamics, one of the important parts is that we do it because it's what needs to be done. It's the action that needs to be taken. It is our gift to humanity, to our community. We don't do it for personal gain. We don't do it for personal recognition.
Yes, good for the sake of goodness. Doing good for goodness's sake is always feels good. Good karma, right?
Yeah,
that's a tricky word. That's a tricky word. So we're going to go to another break. We're at a break already. And when we get back, we're going to go on with cultivating right action. And this idea that we have the choice to do good for goodness's sake. I mean, every day we wake up and we make choices. So, you know, how do we make the right choices? How do we act responsibly and use our free will for its highest good? More on that when we get back from this break.
What is a brilliant culture, and how do we create them? Why are they important? Claudette Rowley has created a breakthrough 5-step process to help you align your culture with your business strategy for exceptional results. Looking for a culture that drives organizational excellence? Listen to Cultural Brilliance Radio, the second and fourth Friday of each month at 10 a.m. Pacific and 1 p.m. Eastern on Transformation Talk Radio. To learn more or work with Claudette, visit culturalbrilliance.com.
Thrive is what we experience when our mind, body, and soul operate as one. When we thrive, we excel on all levels. Thrive is the mindset that matters. It is essential to our being. Have you ever found yourself looking for the instruction manual on how to thrive? You'll find everything you need to help you feel strong, powerful, and peaceful in your own body. So don't waste any more time. Visit thrivebyjen.com today.
Hi, I'm Steve Kramer of Spirit Fire Radio, and I believe that meditation changes everything. It leads us in the direction of greater well-being, and that's a fact. I struggled with meditation for years. I understood the principles, but I found it hard to incorporate them into my everyday life. Spirit Fire's meditation practice changed that. It's called the Practice of Living Awareness, and it's taught in 14 steps. These are 14 tools that I can use in any moment, on and off the cushion. Steps like smile, flow, and ground of being support my clarity of mind while I'm navigating the ups and downs of modern life. That's why it's called the Practice of Living Awareness. If you'd like to add meditation to your daily experience, the Practice of Living Awareness is free, online, and it's suited for any level of practitioner. Visit spiritfire.com for more information. And be sure to check out Spirit Fire's meditation retreats in Western Massachusetts. It's all there at spiritfire.com.
Get ready to experience Truth Talk Radio with host Deb Acker. Tune in to Truth Talk Radio each Wednesday at 3 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com to illuminate the truth in your daily life as you experience life, love, and abundance from a whole new perspective. This hit show will leave you feeling lighter and bring you into a place of infinite possibilities every day in every way. Visit TruthTalkRadioShow.com for upcoming transformative topics and guests.
Tune in to the hit show, Mouthing Off with Chef Rossi. Chef Rossi mouths off about different subjects in pursuit of breaking down walls and opening up your minds. She and Dr. Pat banter back and forth, taking from the headlines of the day on subjects that reach beyond what goes on in the world into your hearts. And go to theragingskillet.com to find out more and let Chef Rossi know what's on your mind.
Welcome back to our conversation. Dorothy and I have been talking about right action for the whole month of May. And we all can choose right action. We have a choice because we have free will. It's really what makes us human, right? We have free will. I think of, in my mind's eye, as a young child, I was watching TV and I was watching live when that plane crashed. I don't know if you remember, Dorothy, a plane crashed in Washington, D.C. in the Potomac River. And it was icy and the plane was going down and a gentleman just jumped right in the water to help save people. And I just remember thinking, goodness, we've got free – that. If that isn't an instance of free will, I just remember thinking, you know, could I do that? Would I do that? And just that we're so powerful. Our choices can be so powerful at any given time. You know, we can act for the good and we can act for the bad. So free will is really about our ability to respond. How do we respond to a situation and taking responsibility? Do we do it or don't we?
Mm-hmm. And just to expand on that, Steve, I think it's important to remember that we do always have choice, because people get in situations where they say, "Well, I don't have any choice. This is what's happening, whether I like it or not." But the fact of the matter is that we always have choice about how we interpret what's happening. We always have choice about how we think about what's happening, how we feel about what's happening. So even if it's only on that level, we do always exercise choice.
Yes, we have the choice to respond in our own way, you know, to every situation.
Mm-hmm.
Indeed, and that makes all the difference sometimes, just how we choose to respond. Do we push against it, or do we accept it, or do we find within us solutions? You know, we've talked about the Hope Show. We talked so much about creating options for oneself, and that's a really great aspect of that. That is right action right there, huh? It's really finding options and not being limited and saying, okay, this situation has no options. There are always options, and using your mind.
And I think it's also, I mean, it's part of the aspect of service that both of our organizations are committed to, that it's not only taking responsibility for ourselves, but also reaching out and taking responsibility for the negative consequences that humanity has created. I think about this article that was online recently about the people who went to this very remote island between New Zealand and Chile, and they found it's an uninhabited island, and they found 38 million tons of plastic and other waste created by humans dumped into the ocean and washing up on the shores of this beautiful island. When we find those kinds of things, we can't just say, well, I didn't do it. We also have responsibility, because we're part of the whole, for the consequences of choices, poor choices on the part of others.
Right. You have to really ask, you know, how are you leaving this world when you go? And how do your choices affect that? Consequences, for sure.
Yeah. I'd like to give an example that, I've been thinking about right action and what the different dimensions of right action are, Steve. And I was thinking about the Southern Poverty Law Center, which, if people are not aware of it, it's one of the amazing contributions that it makes is tracking hate crimes and trying to do something about that. And they have a three-prong approach. And I thought that was so interesting. It's not just a one-prong approach. It's a three-prong approach. So what they do is they counter hate by monitoring and exposing these hate groups to law enforcement and in the media and to the public. And they've got over 900 groups that they're tracking right now. And then their second prong is they teach tolerance. And they talk about how you can't just expect that people are automatically tolerant or that they know how to be tolerant. And then the third is they seek justice. They use the courts to win systemic reforms, not just individual, awards, but something that is going to affect society as a whole. I thought that was really nice, a three-prong approach.
Very nice. And I think we're seeing that in this political climate as well. What I was taking from those three prongs is the first is observation. You know, you've really got to pay attention. You've got to look around. That's a real part of right action is observing and assessing. You know, the groups that they're following, is that global? You know, this is a Southern, you said it's a Southern group. Is that in America or is that?
It's U.S. It's U.S. So some of these groups may be global groups, but it's their operations in the U.S.
900 groups.
Over 900, yeah.
Wow.
And they, I believe their roots are in the racism, that was going on in the South, but they're doing amazing work.
Well, and then the second was education. You know, it's educating people, and that again is right action in forming community and reaching out to another and sharing ideas and talking and lifting somebody else up through sharing knowledge. And, you know, first you observe and then you've got to educate. You've got to teach people. You've got to help them and assist them in growing. And then I love with the courts, it's like the plan. And you've actually got to act on it. You can't just simply observe or educate the other and wait for them. You know, you've also got to take part. And I like that that's their third prong is literally changing these laws and taking it to court and, you know, holding people accountable and looking for change. You know, goodness gracious, you know, the laws have to match. You know, there are some laws out there that need some dusting off and some revising.
And the speaking of using the legal system, I think we've mentioned on this show, but I'd like to mention it again. This landmark lawsuit that's wending its way through the court, brought by our Children's Trust. And the premise is that children, the next generations, are entitled to a healthy environment, an environment where they can thrive, where there's clean air, there's clean water. And so this is a lawsuit. It's brought against the U.S. government, and it's saying you need to do more about climate change. You need to demonstrate to us that the actions that you're taking are going to result in a healthy environment for generations to come.
Yeah, and may it be so that these kids just they get quantum and they grow, they get old enough to vote, you know, sooner than later. Boy, oh boy, because you know that idea again of observation, education, and plan. I keep that three prong. I just see that in the next year, hopefully we all will really be observing the government and observing our representatives. And we will educate each other on the importance of taking action and voting for change and for making sure that that we don't take any steps backwards. You know, it just seems so much not to get too deep into it, but free will, you know, we've really got to use it every day, wake up and in the morning and say, well, what can I do? What action can I take to make a change for the better?
Absolutely.
Beautiful. So, Dorothy, compassion. We're going to talk. We're coming down to the next break, and compassion seems to be a big part of this. We've talked about joy, and joy connecting us to reverence for the world we live in. That creating joy and positivity is really a big part of it. So I find that with Right Action, if we focus on compassion, it helps even in those situations where we might not agree with another. If we can find that which that connects us, if we can have reverence for all of us. If we can find that within us, then we can act from the heart, and our actions are tinctured with that. So I look forward. We're going to take a break, and we come back. I'd love to hear what you have to say about compassion.
Gifted intuitive healer and spiritual teacher Sarah Luce brings her unique style to the hit show Small Steps, Big Breakthrough Radio on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Tune in each month as Sarah turns reality on end and shows us how to experience expansive results with simple yet powerful steps. Expect an enlightening bend on what you currently believe is possible. For show details and upcoming topics, visit SarahLuce.com. That's SarahLuOS.com.
Awareness is universal. Establishing a living awareness through meditation brings peaceful, healthy, and creative well-being into your everyday life. The practice of living awareness, Spiritfire's own meditation practice, is built on this belief and is designed for every level of practitioner. Each year, Spiritfire hosts living awareness meditation retreats that allow you to explore the practice in depth at our retreat center in beautiful Western Massachusetts. Introduce yourself to meditation and the practice at the Foundation's retreat. Attend, in silence, a silent meditation retreat focused on mindfulness, presence, and nature. Or be engaged with the meditation sittings themselves at the Deepening Retreat. Start adding to your awareness and attend a meditation retreat designed to cultivate consciousness in your everyday life. For details on attending a Living Awareness Meditation Retreat, visit upcoming events at www.spiritfire.com.
Are you feeling stagnant or blocked in your love life, career, health, or finances? Experiencing difficulty focusing or setting and achieving goals? Tune in to Spiritual Diagnostics Radio with psychic visionary healers Carol Dorian and Justice Welling. Discover the cause and effect of unwanted patterns in life. Tune in every Tuesday at 12 p.m. Pacific on Transformation Talk Radio. For more information, visit spiritualdeed.com.
Be you plus live your purpose equals joy. That's the motto of Unstuck Joy with Vicki Todd. Vicki believes you were born with gifts that are meant to make the world brighter. Each show will feature an art visioning journal prompt to help you create your way to soul clarity. If you're ready to get unstuck and create more joy, this show is for you. Tune in every month on Transformation Talk Radio. For more information, visit VickiWorldArt.com.
Tune in to The Jen Royster Show, intuitive guidance to inspire your life, each Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific and 11 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This amazing show is an inspirational hour that will take you on an epic metaphysical journey to discover the spiritual approach to life's greatest challenges. Dr. Jen is an internationally known intuitive counselor, spiritual teacher, and energy healer. Call in for intuitive readings and visit JenRoyster.com for more information.
I Hey, welcome back to Spirit Fire Radio. It's good to be back with you. We're winding up this show on right action and cultivating right action. And Dorothy, I just would love to say that there are principles that we established in our very first month on humanity that were really principles that drive our universe. And if one can just align themselves with those principles, it's where it was coming from a bit with compassion and awareness and kindness and joy. We come back to that and all the time that really you've got to wake up with a sense of optimism and positivity and try to generate that in your life. But these principles we can use, you know, are you trying to generate right action? Well, connect with the world around you. Interconnectivity is one of those principles that we talked about. So connect to another person, connect to nature, connect to animals, just connect to your life. And actually, if you go from there, you know, if you move from that place, right action will follow. I would find sense your connection to the whole, you know, sense your connection to divinity, to the one life, and act from there. You know, look beyond the material world. And, you know, if you're doing it so that you don't lose something, if it comes down to greed or materiality, you know, sense that in your gut, you know, and try to observe and see where that's coming from. You know, I find that there's in the Ageless Wisdom, they talk often about the good, the true, and the beautiful. And there's something to that. There's a reverence to the beautiful, meaning that we can co-create something of great beauty. And with reverence comes respect and us wanting to take care of that. And truth was a big word we've come up with, right speech. You know, be truthful, be true to yourself, speak true words, and hopefully your actions will be true to you and help others. And goodness, you know, for goodness sake, we've talked about that quite a bit. those are my suggestions for cultivating right action.
Well, I'd like to expand on what you were talking about with the principles and go into just briefly into a couple of the other principles also, Steve.
Totally. I love them all.
You were talking about interconnectivity. Part of that, of course, is remembering that we are energetic beings and that we are grounded in an energy field that can supply everything that we actually need. We learn to want other things, but we do have what we need. And then the principle of participation, the idea that our focus creates our reality, that we don't live in a deterministic environment, which is what classic physics taught us. We live in a probabilistic environment where there are many options of what could happen. And it's our choices, our focus that precipitates what it is that will actually occur. So we create literally our own experience, our own reality. And then while we tend to think in a linear fashion, past, present, future, in fact, it's all happening at once. And it is possible for us to heal the past, for have insights into how we've been with ourselves or how we've been with another, and reach out and relate to them differently in a way that is very positive. So we have the possibility for right action looking backwards as well as here in the present. We have that principle of interdependence, which is that what we do is connected and has implications for everyone else. We don't live in isolation. We rely on others. We rely on their responses. And we need to take that into account when we're thinking about right action. And then another one I'd like to touch on, Steve, is cooperation. There's a lot in our surrounding environment that would suggest that competition is the way forward. But in fact, what we know from biology, what we know from the life sciences, is that cooperation is really our main modality. We are born being cooperative, and that's what will move us forward, is thinking of the common good, reaching out and working with each other.
Yeah, I hear compassion in each and every one of those, in that we really are a part of this one life, and we've got to live from that. And, you know, non-duality as well, I find that that's a big one. We talked about that in the principles, and it's so easy when we talk about morality or ethics or right action that we quickly want to draw a line between right and wrong action. And we have to, you know, we have to take a look at the complexity of a situation. We've talked about that quite a bit. So not to see the world as so us versus them or dualistically, but that goes along with the interdependence, being open and receptive to another, and trying to see that there are complexities, there are gray areas, and working on finding middle ground together. That's what's mm-hmm. going to, you know, that's what's going to move us forward in the end.
Mm-hmm. You were talking about surrounding yourself with the beautiful, the good, and the true. I would just like to emphasize that who we choose to spend time with makes a big difference.
Huge difference.
If we spend time with people who don't care that much about the common good, who aren't that don't spend time reflecting on their own motivations, that don't pay attention to the intention that they have behind acting, then it wears away at us. It kind of shreds our moral fiber after a while if we're not really careful. And so making sure that we spend quality time with people who don't necessarily share exactly our same values, although that's always nice, but share a commitment to act from a moral base, to be reflective and responsible in the way in which they act.
Beautiful. Everybody wants to be inspired, right? I mean, it's joyful to be around people that we hold in high esteem, which is why I love spending my hour on Wednesdays with you, Dorothy. It's always inspiring and delightful. You are good, true, and beautiful. It's been a great time. So listen, next week, we are going to talk a little bit more about those principles, and we're going to talk about right action once again. This has been a wonderful month because we need to ponder this, and we need to you know, get to the bottom of these principles and be able to observe our day to day, be able to observe with compassion, with heart, and with an open mind those around us, and find solutions together. So I look forward to that. And if anybody out there, if you have any questions, or if you've got something on your mind, or if you have a question about something we've mentioned on the show, please feel free to send us an email to spiritfireradio@spiritfire.com. And we will be glad to bring that up on the air. Any final words from you, Dorothy, before we wrap it up?
No, this has been it's been wonderful talking with you as well, Steve, and wonderful to share this conversation with our listeners. And I look forward next week to also doing some linking back to the other topics that we've covered: the human family, hope, right speech, and see how all of that relates to right action.
Absolutely. I really loved our month on hope. I look forward to talking about hope in terms of right action. That would be quite fun. And then the next month, we're going to be talking about goodwill. So really, right action can give way to goodwill, even on a larger scale when we think of right action. So really wonderful things in store. We look forward to joining you next week and the next month even for goodwill. I look forward to that. All right, Dorothy, it's been a pleasure, and I'll see you next week.
See you, Steve, and thanks to everybody who joined us.
Yes, thanks, listeners.
Thank you for listening to Spirit Fire Radio. Tune in each Wednesday at 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 noon Eastern, for your weekly guide to purposeful living and practical spirituality. Join hosts Steve Kramer and Dorothy Riddle as they shine the light on universal spiritual principles and uncover ways that ageless wisdom can guide you in cultivating consciousness in your everyday life. Add to your awareness with Spirit Fire Radio. To learn more, visit spiritfireradio.com.